It is a blessing to be able to stand before you and speak God's word. It's another day that he has allowed us to come together and fellowship and tell of his goodness. Amen. Amen. He has allowed us to come together. Amen. Turn to Psalms 46. Psalms 46, verse 10. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? I was told we're having a little technical difficulties if it's not up there. I personally think it's the user. That's just, I mean, because it's there. It just, the user don't know how to get it up there. That's all I'm saying. Amen, am I right? Say amen. Oh, I can't get no help in here. I can't get no help in here. What are y'all scared of? Huh? Y'all scared of? Huh? She just got a big point. That's all. Oh, did she turn my mic off? Yeah, turn my mic off. Now, that ain't funny. I got to preach the word. You don't play too. Oh, turn my mic off. Psalms 46, verse 10. When you have it, say amen. I read one verse. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. Amen. For the readers, hearers, and doers of God's word. Amen. Be still is another way of saying let it go. Amen. Let it go. But that's something that we find hard to do. If I tell everybody right now to be still, there would be a problem, because you have an itch that you just want to scratch, so you still wouldn't be able to be still. So the hard thing for us, you wouldn't even be thinking about that itch until I said be still, but all of a sudden it'll just come up on you. And all of a sudden, you want to scratch, but the preacher said, be still. The hard thing in life is to be still. When I'm at home, to sit down on the couch is hard for me to sit, because I'm going to end up cleaning up if I'm inside the house. Lord knows if I'm outside the house, I'm going to do something out there. It's hard for me to be still. The only time I'm still is probably if I'm asleep, and then I'm told that I'm moving in my sleep. But my point is, it is hard to be still. Being still is really allowing God to work in your life. Amen? That's what that means. It's saying that God wants to work in your life. You all remember growing up, there was a time that you got into a situation and you told your parents. And did your parents ever use this phrase, I'll take care of it, I'll handle it? However they said it to you. Your job was to do what? Be still. Now, let me tell you on the preacher. So I grew up in a house with siblings. And I was, for a little while, we were like the Brady Bunch. There was three boys and three girls. And I was, at the time, I was the youngest of the six. And the oldest is 10 years older than me. And then they kind of stair-stepped from there. So I got into an altercation with one of them, which is not surprising. Got into an altercation with one of them, and I was the type of child that, you know, if you challenge me, I don't care how big you are, I'm just going to come at you. I might get beat up, but it's not going to stop me. So I went after. You know, we got into it. So I went, told my mother. My mother said, I'll take care of it. So I went in my room. I was raging. I was mad. I looked. I ain't see my mother moving. So I got mad. Went in her room and said, never mind, I'll take care of it myself. And I went after my sibling and started fighting her. She had to pull me off of her. I mean, I was going at her with everything I had. And if she really wanted to, she could have just pushed me real hard and I would have flew somewhere because I was really, you know, young and I was little. But I went after her and I gave her everything. I gave her a fit. My point is, I was told to be still. I was told that it would be taken care of. Guess what I did? I made that whole situation worse. That's what we do, you all. Instead of allowing God to take care of our matters, we go ahead and do it ourselves. And as a result, you make a mess of what God could have cleaned up. Because keep in mind, God can take your mess and fix it up. Y'all know he can. See, here's the thing. We are busybodies. I mean, busybodies. We always got to be doing something. Like I just told you, it's hard for me to sit down. I'm either cleaning up, washing dishes, or mopping the floor, or washing my clothes, or cutting grass, trimming, washing. I'm doing something. To sit down and just sit, you're not going to get that out of me. If you do, I'm going to be asleep in a minute. My point is, what I'm saying is, we're busy. We're always doing something. It seems like every day of our lives, we are busier than ever, and we have less time to get more things done than our parents, or grandparents ever did. There's a lot of things that we could do. And there's a lot of things that you can find on the computer that will tell you how to organize your time, how to structure your life. God said, be still. And knowing that he is God. In order for you to understand who God is, and you pray, here's the thing, we pray to God, we ask God to do something, and then we go and do it ourselves. You just pray to God. You just wasted your time if you're going to do it yourself. So my thing is, if you're going to pray, then don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. Amen? Does that make sense? Because it makes sense to me. So my thing is, if you're going to give it to God, then give it to him. Don't take it back. The only way you're going to, it says, be still and know that I'm God. How are you going to know that he's God? You got to give it to him. He has proven himself. You have to give it to him. He said, I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. Let me tell you something. I don't care how busy your life may seem to be. or how important you may seem to be. God is saying, I'm gonna get praised. He's going to get that. Why? Because he is worthy of that. We should set our minds on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We struggle with setting our minds on what is before us rather than on the one who is above us. Understand what I'm saying? We're always looking at what we can do, what we can buy, what we can get. But we are not, we're setting our minds on what is before us, but we're not setting our minds on what is above us. And what is above us is God. Busyness may make you feel like you're important in this world. But all it really is doing is taking time away from prayer, Bible study, and our personal intimacy with God. That's what it's doing. I guarantee you, if I spent all my time away from home and not focus on my wife, I won't be married long. Here's how I'm going to prove this to you. Well, there was a gentleman, actually, that we worked for the same company. And this young man, he worked his way all the way up the corporate ladder. When I say he worked his way up, he was on the front line, and now he's with the executive team. Now, he was providing for his family. He was doing great. But guess what? He lost his family because he was married to his job. Even though he was providing for his family, but he was married to his job. Jesus gave us a warning to the last generations leading up to his second coming. And to the angels of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, that faithful and truth witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. God doesn't like lukewarm. He likes an individual, hot or cold. In other words, we have to make a decision. Are we going to serve the Lord and give it everything we got? Because to me, it makes no sense coming to church and worshiping, going through all of this, and you end up in hell. It just doesn't make sense. I'm going to repeat what I said last week. It's like going to a restaurant hungry, smelling the food, and leave out still hungry. That was a waste of your time. We are living in a day and time that it is busy. I was at the barbershop yesterday, and pretty soon I won't be giving my money to the barber anymore, because I'm starting to lose my hair up here. But this little time that the Lord has allowed me to go there, I had some good conversations. So we were talking about busyness and the busyness of the people. This young man, his name is Mike. He's a real cool guy. He was telling me about the church that his pastor kind of started around the same time we did. He said they saw a little bit of growth, and then people stopped coming. And he saw a little bit of growth, then people stopped coming. He just said it's just a progression. He said you see some people, then you don't see them. Then you see them, you don't see them. He said they come, they stop. They come, they stop. I was like, man, you remember Raymond? I ain't seen you before. Because it was the same pattern that he said that's happening at the church that he's attending. It's the same thing that's happened over here. You see people, they come, and then they stop. Then they come, then they stop. And they come, and they stop. And then he said they'll come for a long time, and then all of a sudden, he said they're gone. And basically what he was saying, we were both encouraging each other, you know, not to give up. And we were talking about the busyness of people, how Sunday is a day now where, you remember, you just drive through and there was hardly anything open. If you was going to get gas, you had to get it Saturday. I mean, for real, for real. I mean, if you was going to go to the store, you had to do everything Saturday because Sunday was pretty much a ghost town. But now, it's like you go out there, you think it's Monday or Saturday because we got so much going on. We got so much busyness. I remember playing ball and they were starting to have games on Sundays, but, you know, my family was like, no, we go to church on Sundays. Now they got games on Sundays. You know, you look at the ball field, you see it packed. You're like, what are they doing? They got games scheduled for Sundays. Why? Because they have pushed God aside and said that God is no longer important. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, they didn't say that. Your actions speak louder than what you say. You can tell me you're a Christian, but when I watch you, it ain't lining up. And if it ain't lining up, it ain't going to be straight. Amen? I'm just saying, it ain't going to be straight. So, what we need to do is focus. A lot of times we're out of focus. Focus is the key to successful living. When you're focused, you can get things done. You know, I'm teaching my son how to play baseball. He doesn't know how to play, but he's being taught how to play. And so normally people put a ball on the tee and they have you hitting off the tee. Well, yeah, you can. That's a good way of teaching. But I put a string on the ball and I have my son hitting off the string. So what's happening is this ball is moving all over the place. So what am I teaching my son? I'm teaching him to focus. Watch this ball. Because when you go out there and play, they're not going to put this ball on the tee for you. This ball is going to be moving all over the place. And you're going to have to focus and hit it. So when he's batting, this ball is like flying all over the place. And he has to square it up and he has to look at this ball and he has to hit it. My point is I'm teaching him to be successful in baseball, you have to focus. Because if you don't watch that ball will see you. Now, one of the things we need to do is fear the Lord and serve him with faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers. Now, I know some of you say, well, I don't have any other gods. Well, let's just talk about this for a moment. Anything you do that takes up more of your time than serving God, the Almighty God, the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let's define that. Anything you do more than worshiping and praising God is a God to you. Now, I know some people don't like that harsh teaching and preaching. They like for you to come at kind of soft, kind of like what Joel Osteen do. Now, I don't mean to be funny, but Joel Osteen come at you kind of soft. But I'm going to tell you, if you really study the scriptures and you read Jesus when he spoke, Jesus didn't come soft. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at what? Hand. In other words, think about this for a moment. The reason why Jesus came down is because we was out of order. And to get us back in order, he couldn't come down here. Let me just say this. When you are a speaker and everybody is talking, what is your approach to get everybody to calm down? Are you going to get up there and say, now everybody, come on, settle down. Please, hush, settle down now. All right, I'm getting ready to talk. I need everybody's undivided attention. I mean, who's going to listen to that? When you get up there, you got people talking, your first thing is to what? Restore order. How are you going to restore order? Well, I tell you, this is what I used to do when I was an associate minister. There's one of the musicians right here. She was on that organ. and everybody was loud, and I was trying to get service started. Told her, I said, drown them out. Play loud. That got everybody's attention, because that organ, you know, will penetrate. And it got everybody's attention. Everybody's like, oh. So they knew to sit down. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is you use some method, some strategy to get people's attention. God used a strategy. He sent his son to restore order, to come to rebuke. Understand what I'm saying? He spoke things to get us back in order. What I'm saying, he didn't come soft. He came rebuking, casting out. We need this in our lives. Without focus, you will live for anything. If there's no focus in your life, you live for anything. There are so many things we think we have to do, but in reality, you don't have to do it. Anything you don't choose to do. Listen to what I'm saying. The Lord only requires one thing of you, to make him the focus of your life. That's not a hard task. Make him the focus of your life. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, O Israel, what does the Lord, your God, ask of you but to fear the Lord, your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. God has given us a message for our own good. It is a message that is going to get you into heaven. Fail to listen to this message from God and thinking that, well, this is one of the things that I hear people say a lot. Well, I don't see how a loving God can do this. Let me tell you this. He's also a just God. Not like one of those Supreme Court justices. He ain't like that, because you can pay them off if you got some good money. And last I checked, I don't think we got that kind of money. But my point is, man can be paid off. This is why the Bible talks about man can't govern itself. You need someone higher to govern it, and that is God Almighty. My point is, what I'm trying to say to you is, God is saying, give me everything you got. Focus on me. The secret to a successful life is focus. Without it, you will live for everything. Joshua said, throw away the gods of your forefathers. Worship beyond the rivers and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Basically what he's saying, what you did over in Egypt, you need to get rid of that. That's not gonna bless you. That's not going to help you. All you're going to do is anger God, because he's a jealous God. He doesn't want anyone before him. Listen to me. If you are married, you don't want anybody else with your man. This is one thing I couldn't stand. I couldn't stand this in church. That's why y'all don't see me doing it. And I know you all seen it if you've been in church. You see your pastor's anniversaries, right? And they come and the pastors come marching in. Well, the pastor's got another woman on his arm marching him down the aisle. And the wife got another man on her arm marching her down the aisle. I hated that. I mean, I wasn't even married. I was single, and that made me mad. The reason why it made me mad, because my point is, man, that's not your wife. Your wife is behind you. My point is, walk hand in hand with your wife. There's jealousy in relationships. And if there's jealousy in relationships, if you see how that feels, how do you think God feels when you're worshiping someone other than him? Especially that don't deserve it. Again, if you're not focused on God, then your focus is out of whack, and then your focus will, you will live for everything and anything. This is why this world is starting to pass laws that is ungodly, and it's not biblical. Why? Because they're not focusing on God anymore. Or every now and then they'll throw God in there. You know, put me in your prayer. Who are we praying to? If you're not worshiping God, who am I supposed to pray to? Y'all ever notice that? People want you to pray for them, but they ain't worshiping God. Hold up now. You want me to pray for you and you ain't worshiping God? Then who am I praying to? Because I don't know no other God. You have to say it like it is. So in other words, what do you need to throw away that's a distraction to you? What is keeping you from giving God everything you have? What is holding your worship, your praise back from God? The Bible says, you can find it in Joshua 24, it says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. You got to make a choice. God is not going to force you to worship him. That's your free will. Amen? God is not going to force you. If God wanted to, if he could have, he wouldn't have, if he wanted us, if he wanted us to force us to worship him, God could have just cut that out and just said, everything is going to worship me. And not give us a choice. The angels worship him. But God said, I want something that's going to choose to worship me. That's going to have a choice to worship me. I want something that is unconditional. I want something that's going to worship me, not because I ordained it to worship me. I programmed it to worship me. I want something that's going to do it free will. This is why God created us. Free will. Look at today. Look around. The church should be packed. Why? Because God did everything for you, created you. You move and have your being because of God. Without him, you wouldn't. But the point is, people's free will keeps them away. See, people think because they're doing fine, they're feeling good, they don't need God. Kind of like when some of them relatives that only time you see them is when they need something. We all got them in our family. If let me just say this. You may be one of them. Just have to put it plain. You may be one of them. But what I'm saying is we all have that relative in our family that the only time you really see or hear from them is when they need something. You don't want somebody like that. That's the way we do God. I saw a church sign that says God wants full custody of his children. All I could do was laugh because it was funny. I knew exactly what they was talking about. You know, if you look at it in the natural, you know, when you have parents that are divorced, you know, one parent may get them on the weekend, the other one have them during the week. God is basically saying, I don't want you just on the weekend. I want you 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. That's the time that I want with you. So I don't want just weekend custody. But here's the one thing that I want you to understand. You know, sometimes we look in and we feel like, you know, that in our own egos, we think that we're all that, you know, and thinking that God can't find somebody else. Well, in the book of Kings, 1 Kings in chapter 20, I read a little bit where, and I kind of thought about this little piece of scripture where it says, basically just paraphrasing, where God will find another. What would happen to you if God does find another? God will find someone else. Here's the thing. I heard my grandfather preach this a lot, you know, where, you know, a lot of times I hear people, they may refer to my grandfather when he was pastor, and they refer to him as pastor. But they don't attend church. So his comment was, why call me pastor, but you don't come to church? In other words, he's trying to say it in a nice way. I'm not your pastor. It's kind of like the Bible says, why call me Lord when you don't honor me? In other words, where's the honor? I mean, I understand, you know, well, we're just trying to respect him. I mean, he is a pastor, right? He is a pastor. But if you're going to refer to him as your pastor, where's the honor? Where's the respect? Because if you respect him, then you will be at church. Amen? So, the preacher can only lead and warn. The watchman looks for coming danger and warns the people. But if the end, you can refuse the instructions of God's man. A preacher is only trying to warn you and lead you. This is all we're doing. We're not trying to be harsh or discourage you, but we're just trying to warn you. The preacher cannot make you serve God. Only we can encourage you and warn you. That's it. But in so doing, you disrespect the office of the man of God and also God. When you disrespect a pastor, a preacher, really what you're doing is disrespecting God. I'm just a messenger of God. So whatever you say to me, you're saying it to God. Now, you may think you're saying it to me, but I didn't write this. I wasn't even born. The foundation was laid way before me. My point is, what I'm saying is, you know, I have no heaven or hell to put you in. All I'm saying is, I come as a messenger of God, preaching the gospel, telling you, many people have left because they didn't like what was being said. Some left because, I don't know, somebody didn't speak to them. I like how my grandfather said, you got a mouth, right? Did you open yours up? Two-way street. Some people, it's a one-way street, and it goes their way. Amen? I'm just telling you. That's the way some people are. It's a one-way street with them, and it goes their way. That's why a lot of people don't like going over to St. Louis, because they don't like them one-way streets. You turn down a one-way street, you're going to get, you're going to get caught. So, remember Ananias and Sapphira? We need to understand they disrespected, well, they lied to the preacher. Y'all remember that? They lied to the preacher. See, we need to understand that, again, when you're talking to a man of God, you're talking to God. That's his spokesperson. For example, let's just use the president, since we're all familiar with that. I'm going to use the office, not the person. The office of the president, when you speak to his, what is called his press secretary or whomever is his, that's really like talking to the president. Am I right? Everything that person is saying is coming from the president. It's their direct orders. So to get mad at that person is to get mad at God. I mean, is to get mad at that office of the person who's holding it. So to get mad at the preacher is to get mad at God. Here's the thing. A lot of times we are too busy for God. When you're too busy for God, something gets left out. When you are doing everything that you can possibly do in your life, I see many people, church members who have children involved in sports and music and all kind of stuff and never really see them on church. Well, here's the problem with that. When you are that busy that you allow the church, and I'm going somewhere with this, and you allow God to be pushed aside, it doesn't look good. When you are constantly busy doing something, saying, I got to get this done, I got to get that done, I got to get this done. Let me tell you something. It's not enough time in a day. That stuff is going to be there. As I tell the people on my job, they in these leadership positions. See, the one thing about not being a manager is that I can go home. I did my part. Now it's on that manager to do their part. You understand what I'm saying? So they put in these long hours, and they still ain't good enough. I had my director to say to me, I'm working all these long hours. I'm like this. I know you are. And I'm working on weekends. I'm like, I know you are. And now I got to take a vacation and still got to work. I was like, pretty bad for you. And it is. That's sad that you got to work like that. They give you your time, but then when you take your time, they still want you to work on your time. So what am I saying? All of that busyness, what is it doing? It's taking you away from the things that are of importance. And it's taking you away from God. No matter how physical fit or spiritual you are, there's still only 24 hours in a day. Your job, your family, your hobby, your entertainment, you know, all of that is going to be what it is. If you are overcommitted to all of these things, here's what you're going to leave out, and that's God. We do it every time. We leave God out of everything. It will be God that you will leave out. Why? Because you're not going to read the Bible. You're not going to pray. You're not going to have devotion time. You're not going to meditate on God's word. You're not going to do any of those things. We think when we're really busy, it means that we are really important and it really makes us grow. That's not growth. That's not helping you. We need to spend time in the word of God. A lot of times I could be sitting and or we can be together, I'll zone out. Y'all want to know why I zone out? Because my body is programmed to go into meditation mode. Understand what I'm saying to you. I'm programmed to go into meditation mode. What I mean by that is I'll start meditating and thinking about the things of God. I'll be looking at a message that somebody just put before me. Because, you know, you get most of it. I had somebody to say at work, do you preach about us? I laughed. I said, you should listen to the stuff that's on the website. I try not to call folks names. But wanted to know, do I preach about them? I said, I got enough material at this job. Listen to me. It will last me a long time. I mean, because they do stuff that you can't help but preach about. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You know, I preach about what I see and what I hear. That's why y'all see me preaching about my wife a lot. That's some good stuff. But let's see. We need to understand this, our busyness. In our busyness, we make excuses of why we can't do the things of God. There's people in the ministry that I could ask to do something, and I'll get an excuse that they can't do it. Now, that's not for everybody. That's just from certain individuals, because when you ask them, they'll come up with an excuse of why they can't do it. Here's my point. What they are doing is, a lot of times they don't realize they're doing this, but I'm just going to make this point. A lot of times they're trying to talk you out of what you're trying to ask them to do. Y'all ever had that to happen? You go to them and you ask them to do something, they try to talk you out of what you're asking them to do, and what you're asking them to do is what God gave you to ask them. Y'all follow me? And they'll try to talk you out of it. And I'm like, no, no, that's okay. I'll just do it, or, you know, basically go another way with it. Because my thing is, if God says for you to do something, I did my part. I presented it. They rejected it. God knows that they rejected it. Now it's in his hands. Now, as far as me going a different direction with it, that's on God. Y'all understand what I'm saying? See, we need to understand that, you know, no matter what you do, if you're busy in your life like Martha, Martha was busy. Everything that Martha was doing wasn't important. The most important thing for Martha at that point in time was to be at the feet of Jesus and learning what was at stake. Think about it. You have the creator of everything inside your house, and all you're focused on is the work that needs to be done. You have the creator of the universe in your house. I want y'all to understand what I'm saying. Present and accounted for. All you're focused on is some unnecessary stuff. Trust me. Trust me. They were going to eat. It just not may not have been as soon as she would have liked, but they would have ate. But what was important, now I know people, we look at this and say, oh, this is hindsight. But some of us are like this too. We got our priorities in the wrong place. Too busy. So we find, you know, here's the thing. Sometimes, you know, we get to that point where, you know, like Martha, you might think you're doing the right thing by worrying and fussing over so many things. But Mary, you know, was doing the right thing. The only thing that needs to be done was sit at the feet of Jesus. Church is the primary place that most come to praise and give worship and reverence to God. But over time, as you go deeper into the church, you start to get busy. You find yourself in meeting after meetings. You find yourself in the choir, on the usher board, deacon training, teaching classes, going out witnessing, you know, cooking church dinners, running the kids' car wash, or doing some type of yard sale, or whatever it is. You're too busy, and God is saying to you, God is saying to us, like he said to Martha, we need to sit down. God will find, here's the thing. We need to understand this. God will find somebody else if you don't do it. God doesn't need you or me. I want you all to understand that. Why would I say it that harsh? Well, before we were here, who was here? Did God need you then? As God said, where were you when I laid the foundation? So I'm saying it just like I'm saying it. God don't need you. But here's the thing that I like. Isn't it a blessing, even though I know that God doesn't need me, but isn't it a blessing to be associated with the credit that you have been a part of something? Think about it. God didn't need Moses. God could have just parted the Red Sea by himself. But I'm sure Moses is thankful that God used him as a vessel to tell him to use what you got in your hand and just point it and the sea will part. Isn't it a blessing to say that I was a part of what God did? Isn't that a blessing? I mean, even though Moses didn't do it, but doesn't Moses get some credit for it? Why? Because he was obedient to God. What I'm saying is God don't need you, but I like the fact that God say, come on over here. Come on, come on. I remember one time Bob was teaching me one time when I was growing up. I was like, oh, I can't do that. And Bob said, yes, you can. I said, no, I can't. Bob said, come on over here. I was young, like Jeremiah. And Bob said, come on. He said, hit it. And I hit it. And he said, come on, I see progress. And I hit it again, and I wasn't seeing progress, but Bob was. And so I kept hitting it, and then all of a sudden I started seeing progress, and then all of a sudden I split the wood. I was a part of what he was doing. Isn't that a blessing? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Isn't it a blessing that you're not the person that's going to do the healing? But isn't it a blessing that God said, come here, Brother Moore, I want you to just go over there and just lay hands on Minister Cora. Just touch her. And then, by the way, when you make your way to her, walk on over there to Mother Gloria, and I want you to touch her as well. And then while you're passing by, touch a few more folks. You know, it ain't you that's doing it. It is God. But he is using you as a vessel to get his job done. I want to be counted. God, use me, Lord, from whomever. He'll find somebody else. You know, folks, they would get mad and they don't want to sing anymore. God, find somebody else to sing. I mean, church is going to go on whether you want to do it or not. There's folks that left here, you know, we had a little men's choir. They, you know, they left, they gone. But God still finds people to sing. Amen? If you don't want to do it, God will get somebody else. Church don't stop because you stop. Amen? It don't stop because you stop. Church is still going strong. Just because you left. You know, I had a cousin to say to me, man, we don't have Sunday dinners like we used to when we was growing up. I said, what you mean? He said, man, we don't have Sunday dinners, man. We used to all come together and we used to all have Sunday dinners, man. We'd be over to grandma's house and we all be eating and all of that type of stuff. And I said, hey, it's still going on. What happened to you? I said, I'm trying to figure out what family he talking about. Is it on his mother's side? Because it sure ain't on his daddy's side. I was confused. Don't tell me that something has stopped when I'm still partaking in it. The church is not stopped. The church is not over. God is still worse. God is still worthy of praise. So don't tell me that, you know, ain't nobody going to church anymore. I am. I'm telling you, I am. I'm still praising him. In other words, I'm still kicking it. I'm not giving up. Some folks gonna give up. I'm gonna tell you, you'd be surprised. Not everybody you see is gonna be in heaven. I mean, you look around, you'd be like, oh, don't. And no, you ain't gonna even know it. You're just gonna be too busy worshiping. But a lot of people gonna recognize each other in hell. Oh, I thought you was in church. I thought you were too. Didn't I see? You was on the deacon board. You was too. Wasn't you a preacher? I don't know. I'm telling you, you probably gonna have a lot of that going on. I'm surprised to see you down. Ooh, burning down there. Just saying. See, people don't like that kind of preaching. That kind of preaching makes people not want to come back to the church. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not telling us about prosperity. It's not telling us to look at that car at the dealership and prophesy to it that it's going to be yours drive. You can go and prophesy to it all you want to. If God didn't tell you you're going to get it, you ain't going to get it. We should never be too busy. Never. Never be too busy to go to God in prayer. Somebody in the church needs you to pray for them. You should never be too busy to go for them and pray to the Lord. What if you were in the situation and you need prayer? Wouldn't you want somebody to pray for you? Never too busy to throw up your hands and worship God. Should never be that busy. Should never be too busy to cry to the Father. Never be too busy to take your burdens to him in prayer or to praise him. Study his words. Get down on your knees and sit at the master's feet. A certain man gave a great supper, and he invited folks to come. And folks started making excuses of why they couldn't come. I said this last week. Made all kind of excuses of why they couldn't come to this feast. And everything was prepared, and all they had to do was just show up. All right. Amen? All you had to do is just show up. That's like when people send out an invitation to you to come to their work. All you got to do is just you know, they send an RSVP so I know you're coming. Folks don't even want to RSVP anymore. They just want to show up. Well, I thought you knew I was coming. I ain't figure I ain't have to. Knowing you can eat. Amen? You know you're going to come there and eat up everything. But just come. I mean, here's my point. You know, all you got to do is come. You ain't got to cook. You ain't got to do anything but just come. Folks don't even want to RSVP. That's how lazy we are. We don't even want to do that anymore. Don't even want to let folks. You look at the list. I didn't know you was coming. Oh, I had to RSVP? Well, what you think the letters went out for? Here it is. This man sent out an invitation. Folks making excuses. Three of them. One got married. One bought some cows. And the other one bought some land. First of all, if you're going to buy something and you ain't inspected, shame on you. That land ain't going nowhere. It's going to be there. Am I right? That land ain't going nowhere. That's an excuse to not come. That land is there. It's going to be there after the feast. These cows, it's like, okay, come on now. You're going to buy something and you ain't look at it? What kind of sense do that make? And then one got married. Well, and bring your wife too. Here's my thing. If I'm invited, my wife is invited. And if my wife is not invited, then I ain't going. It's just that real. I mean, for real. I'm like, well, they're like, hey, how can you come? Hey, well, you know, my wife wasn't invited. My wife, you know, they, you know, on my job, they wanted to have this happy hour. I said, y'all want to have a happy hour? I said, I don't want to be bothered with y'all after work. I was just that raw. I said it just like that, too. I ain't sugarcoat. I said, I don't want to be bothered with y'all after work. I said, can my wife come? They said, why are we going to bring our spouses? This is just for us. I said, first of all, I'm already spending 8 hours with y'all at work. And now you want me to spend another 2 hours with y'all after work, and I don't have my wife with me? I said, either she come or I ain't coming. It's just that simple. And they was like, man, why you don't want to bring your wife? I don't understand that. You married too. You don't want to bring your wife? I don't understand that. I want to bring my wife. So my point is, you know, we're busy doing all kind of stuff. We don't care about the things of God. We don't want to. You tell people, hey, Wednesday night Bible study. What time is it? 6 o'clock, like it's been for the past 13 years. How long you been a member? Yeah, I'm going to be there. Sometimes folks tell you something just to shut you up. Y'all ever know that? I mean, can I be real? Y'all know folks tell you something just to shut you up because it's what you want to hear. Amen? But it's not what they're going to do. I've run into people all the time in the stores. They be like, oh, Pastor, hey, how you doing? You know what? I won't make it this Sunday. But next Sunday, I got a commitment this Sunday coming up. Because they have to think about it for, what's today? Today is Saturday. Okay, tomorrow's Sunday. Okay, I can't make it this Sunday, but I guarantee next Sunday I'll be there. See, here's what they're doing. They're throwing out this out there, so in the event you ask them to come to church, they're already going to say that they're committed to go do something this Sunday coming up. Because, see, right now, you're in their face. Now, when y'all leave, here's the thing. Out of sight, out of mind. So when next Sunday come around, they ain't going to be here. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I've never seen anyone that said that to me show up that following Sunday. Now, I know y'all say, oh, come on, Pastor. No, I was keeping record. Amen. Thank you. God has already prepared everything. Meal is cooked. Everything is laid out. Jesus said, I go to a place to prepare for you. Amen. Didn't he not say that? So he's gone to a place to prepare. And last time, it don't take him long to prepare things. So my point is, he's preparing and he's sending out this invitation. And he's wanting us to come to this invitation that he has for us. But many of us are too busy to answer the invitation. We're not RSVPing to this invitation that he has laid out. So, but let me just say this as I get ready to close. You know, we always complain about that we have no time, but we have far more time than our ancestors had. They had to wash their clothes down at the river, bake their own bread, carry their own water. That's what my grandfather said. We didn't have running water. He likes to say this, but oh, it was running water because you ran from out there to in there. So he said it was running water. Don't pay no attention to my That's his version of running water. But y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, back in the day, they had a 7-day work week, not 5. Understand what I'm saying? They did not have 4 weeks of vacation, nor a slew of paid federal holidays like we have. We have cars. They walked on foot or perhaps rolling animal. And some people, you know, they'll exaggerate a little bit. I had to walk up this mountain to get to school. And all that type of stuff. Y'all see how I'm looking at you? That's what some of them, they're over-exaggerate. You know, as far as the light in their homes, you know, they didn't flip on switches like we do. They had to light kerosene lamps and things like that. That's what they had. You know, wasn't the flipping on the switches. We have automatic everything, washer and dryers and vacuum and vacuum cleaners, microwave ovens, garbage disposals, remote controls. It's funny because I'm looking at all the luxuries that we have, and the people, some of them sitting in this room, didn't have all of this, you know. But my point is, I look at the excuses that we all make, you know. Let me just say this, and I have to tell on myself, okay? Because, you know, before I left, I loaded up the dishwasher, right? And so, you know, my wife is at home. She's sleeping and everything because she just got out from work. And so my point is, you know, back in the day, you know, our forefathers had to wash by hands. All I did was load it up, push the button, and I'm going out the house. Dishes gonna be washed when I get home. My point is, we got all this automatic everything, washer, dryers, vacuum cleaner. My cousin has a vacuum cleaner. He programmed it. Literally, he programmed it. It vacuums his whole house. Then he starts bragging and tell his wife, baby, I vacuumed the house. No, you didn't. You programmed this robot to vacuum your house. And then it goes back to the docking station. And it waits there. I kid you not. I'm sitting there looking. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. And he's bragging on himself. Whew, that was a lot of work. No, it wasn't. Man, I'm telling you, I can't be around my cousins too long. They make me mad. They be saying stuff that provoke me. But I'm telling you, automatic everything. And now we can do all our Christmas shopping right from a chair. Some of us in here got Amazon accounts. I don't, but I know who do, so I ask them to order that for me. So I can preach about them, but I don't preach about myself. Y'all just can't preach about yourself. Yet we are the ones who complain that we are too busy to go to church, too busy to find time to pray. We can't even find a few minutes each day to read God's word. Amen? To respond to an invitation. Imagine, you don't have time, but you got a robot that is vacuuming your floor. You got a dishwasher that's washing your dishes. You got a washing machine that's washing your clothes. And you ain't doing nothing but sitting on the couch. I ain't got time. You ain't got time for what? You have more time than you think you do. We are a lazy generation. This is why the children of Israel are no different from us. This is why God said, I could just use these people to define everybody. Because we all act just alike. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter your race. It don't matter your gender. All that matters is that you are a creature that was created. And you act just like the children of Israel. God let it rain manna from heaven. They still wasn't satisfied because they wanted God to do it for them. God, can you go out there and pick up a couple of, give me about 4 or 5. They were storing it up. Y'all, we are laughing at this, but this is real if you read the Bible. We are the same way. We want God to do everything for us. And if he don't do it, we get mad at him because he didn't come through. What do you mean God didn't come through after all that he's done for you? You saying he didn't come through? Oh, my God. I've never seen a time or never witnessed a time that God didn't come through. And if God did, as we say, didn't come through, let me say this. It wasn't meant for me to have it. It wasn't meant for me in the first place. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you had got what you asked for, you wouldn't want it. Boy, I tell you. Let me close with this. Let's look at Jesus. When his cousin and John the Baptist had just been beheaded, Jesus tried to go to a lonely place to pray, mourn, but the crowds beat him there. He healed the sick and he served them all dinner. Only then in the evening did he get a chance to be alone. And even that was interrupted. Another time when he was alone praying, Peter sought him out to let him know everyone was looking for him. Jesus just can't get some time to himself. So he did not respond. Jesus didn't respond irritably to Peter. And it wasn't no big deal. But think about the meeting that Peter broke up when he interrupted Jesus. When God and his son are talking, it is more important than any conference call or international summit we could ever imagine. Two beings whose job is to create and maintain the universe are consulting with one another, and they don't mind little Peter breaking in with information he is convinced is important. Think about that for a moment. Even when his life was on the line, Jesus had time for other people's problems. When someone threatens to kill you and you don't think it's quite time to die, escaping will jump to the top of your task list. But no, Jesus, still being bothered with the urgencies of people, still healing folks. Listen to what I'm telling you. Still working a miracle in people's lives. He's got a bigger issue that he's dealing with, but yet we interrupt him and come with something that we think is so significantly important. We're only just one person, but my God, he has the whole universe that he is trying to accomplish a task. He is trying to, folks over here wants healing, over here deliverance, over here salvation, over here people are starving and needing food, people are being persecuted for his name. He's got all of these things going on, but yet he allows us to interrupt him to come and see what's the matter. And not one time did I ever read what Jesus said, hold up, I ain't got time for all this. Too much going on in this world. I'm just going to just end it all right now and just destroy it. No. He took the time out and said, I'm aware of that prayer. I'm aware of that situation. I got you covered. I see you back there. I got you going. Oh, don't worry about it. I'm on the job. I haven't lost anything. I'm still all powerful. I'm still all knowing. Even though there's distraction, I still know it. Sister, I haven't forgotten about your children not obeying you. God is saying, I know what's going on. I'm well aware. We serve an awesome God. That's the only time you can use that word. Awesome is when you're affiliated with God. He allows us to interrupt him. With all that he's got going on, you ain't got nothing going on. Your little problems, your little situation, it is nothing compared to what God has on his desk. Have you seen his desk? Have you seen his file? Have you seen the prayer request that comes on an hourly basis, daily, seconds, that comes to him? But yet he gets interrupted. He couldn't even talk to his daddy. Folks coming to him. Jesus, people are looking for you. I know people are looking for me, Peter. He ain't say that. He ain't say that. Has he ever said that to you? What you want now, Brother Moore? Didn't I just help you the other day? Can I get a break? I need some me time. I'm trying to go on vacation. The angels are waiting on me. We trying to have us some good time. But y'all got all this problem going on. If you listen to me in the first place, if Adam and Eve hadn't bit the apple, you wouldn't be in this situation. He ain't say that, did he? Did you read that? I ain't read it either. What did he do? He said, all that are heavy laden, come on unto me. I'll give you rest. He said, bring it. You got to be a big God to want something like that. You want to talk about multitasking? He's got it going on for real. Look at you. Y'all got me sweating. I just came up here to say a few little words and come on, sit down. Amen. Doors of the church.